Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We are here in studio with Delano Johnson, who is Safe Streets Outreach Supervisor for Cherry Hill, and Cameron Miles, Director of Mentoring Teens in the Hood. Delano and Cameron, welcome. Good to have you both with us.
Good morning. Thank you, Mark.
Good morning. Thank you, Mark.
410-319-8888 is the number here. Delano, let me just talk to you first about, and then Cameron, I want you to jump right in behind this with your thoughts on it and talk about your fundraiser coming up this Saturday night, which is one of the reasons we're doing this. But on the heels of that little boy being, that child being killed, the one-year-old, one-and-a-half-year-old, talk about the toll that's taken and what you've been doing since and just your perspective on what this means, especially when we read about the young man who they think did the shooting, goes to St. Francis Academy, thought of as this beautiful young man. And I'm just curious your thoughts about all this and what it's saying.
Well, my thoughts on this, it's like when you look at a atrocious act like this.
Yes.
You know, a baby was murdered like in cold blood, and like what it brings to me is like the mindset of the individuals that did this, right? And our community, and where it happened at. When you look at Cherry Hill, Cherry Hill is like the county of Cherry Hill. Nothing never happens down there. You have armed security down there and everything. For somebody to do this like in broad daylight, and to take a life of a baby, you know, our community is hurting, and these senseless crimes let you know that these young men are ignorant. Sometimes you know, they just don't know no other way to behave. They're caught up in this type of environmental thinking, right? Because of the information that they have, you know, being fathered by gangs and all of that, you know, because what I come to understand is that the mind doesn't know the information that's put into it. It doesn't know how to react or on bad and good. It just knows how to react. If negative information is put into it, that's how you're going to behave. It's ultimately going to become your belief system. And once it becomes your belief system, that's how you'll behave. So for them to not have any type of value for life in itself, because you cannot tell me when I saw the photos of the vehicle, there were two gunshots in the back window, and it was broad daylight. So when I look at that, you tried to eliminate everybody.
You couldn't have missed the baby is what you're saying.
You couldn't have missed the baby.
Cameron?
Well, again, I just want to say good morning and thank you for the opportunity. First of all, I want to extend my condolences to the family that lost their baby, their child. The mindset is seriously flawed and skewed when young men perpetrate these kind of activities. But what it says to me is that we need to do a better job at reaching out to a younger population, starting at 7, 8 years old, if not younger, to teach them that this kind of behavior is unacceptable. Picking up a gun to deal with a feud, a beef, an argument is unacceptable. And we teach the young men and mentoring male teens in the hood to never do or say anything out of anger. So this has clearly escalated to a point where, in my humble opinion, I think that too many of our young people spend too much time in front of television, and they're watching all these kind of acts perpetrated, and they somehow justify it to be, I'm going to emulate and be this kind of hardened guy, so I have street cred, I have respect. And we have to get away from the thought that if you take a life or take several lives, that somehow you get some kind of street cred. That is a sick way of thinking. We need to get back to the mindset of fostering, if you do well in school, if you get a scholarship, if you make straight A's, that's what we want to be bragging about, not about nonsense and drug turf and doing and just wreaking havoc in a community. These people, it will take a long time for them to be healed psychologically, mentally. And I'm not just talking about the folk who lost their child, mm-hmm. but people just around the community that knows what happened, because the perception is that we have an animalistic kind of behavior and we will do anything and hurt anybody for turf or in the name of money or in the name of, well, you disrespected me, I have to do this. And it's unacceptable.
So I'd like to kind of explore with both of you. I mean, let me start again with you, Cameron, and then come back to Delano, about what your approach would be to this. You both do very different, similar but different work. With the work you do with mentoring male teens in the hood. So I'm curious what that means about an approach to addressing things like what happened in Cherry Hill and how you would approach that.
Well,
are you speaking of how I would approach it after it happened or before, Mark?
Both. Let's start with you, Cameron, let's go over to Delano. Both.
Okay, so before something like that happened, again, I would talk to, as I do week to week, month to month with our young people about not picking up guns and knives out of anger. There are ways to settle a beef, a dispute, without resorting to being violent. What it will do to the victim, I think we need to have actual scenarios and situations, role-playing as to what happens, what can happen, and what is the result. So now we're looking at, we're behind the eight ball because this heinous crime has already happened. So, but why did these young people perpetrate this crime? And we're going to have a discussion in July about why our young men think this particular crime happened. Now, we know what the word on the street is. We know what, the gossip is. But there are so many different ways to handle. But again, Mark, if you're not thinking clearly, if you have drugs in your system, and I'm not saying they did because I don't know, but if you have that mindset that I'm going to do whatever I can do to wreak havoc, trying to get respect, trying to get credibility. If somebody steps on my toes or they wrong me, I'm going to take them out and anybody that's around. And then on top of all of that, many of the young people who would pick up a gun, Mark, don't even know how to shoot a gun, have not been trained, have not gone to a range. So when you pick up a 9mm, a Glock, a Uzi, whatever the case may be, there's a certain amount of force and kick behind it. If you haven't learned how to hold that weapon and fire that weapon, bullets ultimately go everywhere.
Right.
And people that are unintended get taken out.
Delano?
Well, we had Safe Streets, Baltimore, Cherry Hill, how we approached this matter and these type of individuals. First, I hear Cameron when he says, you know, get them when they're young, you know, from seven, I forgot what else age he said, but we do things a little bit different at Safe Streets. We target those individuals who society's so-called, say, are throwaways, who society has given up on. You know, these just like those young men who allegedly perpetrated this crime. And what we do, we use credible messengers. We are called credible messengers. We take guys from the community who have backgrounds like that, who have been there and done that, whereas though these individuals can relate to, who they know, that are tangible, that know their history, and we go out into the community because why they call us credible messengers, because we know most of these people who are doing these things, right? And what we do, we target areas that's disproportionately affected by shootings and killings, and we target the highest risk individuals in that area, in that target area. So that's how we approach that. We are out there all the time, you know what I mean? And it would have been helpful if we could devise a system to let us know when a lot of these guys are coming home. A lot of these, because sometimes they sneak home and we don't even know about it, you know what I mean, until later on to something happens, you know? So we foster relationships and build relationships with these individuals, and they begin to trust us, You know, we don't be aggressive. We don't tell them what to do. What we do is we plant seeds and we give them suggestions so they're able to think on their own. And if they're able to think on their own, their decisions will be lasting. We connect them with all type of resources, GED programs, job training programs, mental health programs, anger management, that of the sort. And it's a lot of hand-holding. You know, we take them on appointments, take them to interviews. You know, it's a lot of hand-holding. Ultimately, we don't tell them to stop doing this, stop doing that. We show them. You know, because in my community, you know, they will look at me, and they know where I've been. They know how I was. And when they look at me today, I went back to school. You know, I got my GED. You know, I'm in college. I'm married, taking care of my children. And they see that, and that gives them hope. We go in and give them hope because society has given up on them. So we go in and say, no, this is not the way you do it. You've been told a lie.
Cameron.
I just want to say this, Mark, to Delano.
Yes.
I think it may be helpful for you to reach out to the Department of Corrections if you have a contact. If you don't, try to find one, or Department of Juvenile Services. Maybe they would be willing to work with you so that you do know when young men, young women are coming home so that you can get a jump on it. Number two, many of our referrals come from Department of Juvenile Services, Department of Social Services, and the Office of Suspension Services at the school system.
Yes.
So, you know, I think that if I can reach them in a message with an activity, hopefully it would keep our young men from perpetrating such a heinous crime as what took place.
Yes.
I totally applaud your activities and all that you're doing, but somehow there's a way for us to meet in the middle so that we can be examples for each other, not you and I, but the young men in my program, the young men in your program, so that this kind of thing doesn't continue to happen, because it's so unnecessary, and it leaves such a mark and a stain on our community, in which we both love and which we're trying to save and make a positive difference. And I also share that when I was coordinator of the Young Fathers Program, Young Fathers, Responsible Fathers, many of the men were dealing with these same issues with the young men. We had many fatherhood events at the Cherry Hill, that big open playground area right across from, I believe it's Harbor Hospital, basketball tournaments and all kind of activities to try to reach the population. But I think that we have to show all of the populations that we care.
Yes.
And too many times, people who say they want to work with this population, number one, are not consistent, they're not good listeners, and they haven't shown that they care. I've been doing this 17-plus years, so, you know, I don't have any defense to make. I know that I've been consistent and out there, but at some point, the individuals have to make up in their mind, I'm going to put down the gun, I'm going to stop trying to make fast money, and I'm going to try a different way for the betterment of the community.
Exactly.
So one of the things before we have, let me get a quick call. We only have like 4 minutes left. Before we go to the phones, though, Cameron, I want you to have a chance to kind of talk about Saturday.
Saturday we're having a fundraiser. We have one fundraiser a year, just like Brother Delano. We're trying to raise money to do things. So we take a trip. We take a trip once a year out of state. We've gone to Connecticut and Princeton. We've gone to Yale, Harvard, Howard University, Morehouse. This year we're going to Delaware State University. We're going to the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia. Young people, especially in Baltimore, need to get out and see that there are other things other than Baltimore. So we've invited Professor Charles Ogletree from Harvard Law School. He's accepted. He's going to come down and talk about juvenile arrests, unfair juvenile arrests, and arrests of people of color in general. So he's going to have a great comment. It'll be from 2 to 5 p.m. At New Shiloh, which is 2100 North Monroe Street. It's a casual event. We're not going to have a dinner, just finger foods. I can't afford to have a dinner. And he'll speak. We'll have young people providing the entertainment. And if your schedule allows, Brother Delano, I'd like you to consider being my personal guest.
All right. I sure will.
So now, just for Brother Delano, I want you to come in tuxedo.
Okay.
But,
but
I thank you, Mark, for allowing me to put that out, because we do want people to know about it. This gentleman is coming a long way. He's not charging us. He's done a lot for justice in this country. And, you know, I hope it will be a great event, and we pray that it will be a great event.
And we're going to put it up on our website. We've got like 2 minutes left, Delano.
Oh, so I want everybody that's listening right now, tonight, this evening at 6 o'clock, we will be doing a community shooting response in the 1200 block of Cherry Hill Road in response to this shooting that took place.
That's excellent.
And I would like everybody to come out. Everybody to come out and show that this thing is not acceptable, that this type of violence is no longer acceptable in our communities.
Delano Johnson, the Safe Streets Outreach Supervisor for Cherry Hill. Cameron Miles, Director of Mentoring Male Teens in the Hood. His event's this Saturday night, Saturday afternoon. We are going to put that up on our website at New Shiloh. You should be there, support the work that they do, and get out tonight to support the end to violence in our communities in Cherry Hill tonight. Thank you both so much for the work you do and for being here in the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Brother Delano.
Thank you, Brother Cam, and I'll see you Saturday.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
On the way out, I'll remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Mortgage late? Don't wait. If you're struggling with your mortgage, the state of Maryland is offering housing counseling and legal assistance. Maryland's HOPE program can even help you understand the state's mediation law and the Attorney General's National Foreclosure Settlement. Don't wait. Get help today. More information at mdhope.org. Or at 877-462-7555. And the information is at steinershow.org under their banner as well. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Bobby Marvin Holmes, Mark Ennery, and Stephanie Marvronis. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Our intern is Lila Warshaw. Our theme music is by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear the show again, podcast all our past shows, find out information about our guests and the work they do, information on today's show, please come to our website at steinershow.org, and you can listen and podcast all of our shows on iTunes. So for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, stay tuned. Michelle Martin's coming behind me with Tell Me More. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.